We're going to get going at high warp speed today. We're going to get going right out of the box today with friend of downtown and one of our favorite guests, the always erudite and entertaining Upton Bell. Good afternoon, Mr. Bell.
Good afternoon to you. May I say something very, very quickly about particularly women's high school basketball?
Yes.
I don't know whether your listeners saw the score here locally outside of Boston. I think it was 97 to 8 or 9. A high school team, a girls' high school team, beat another girls' high school team. And absolutely disgraceful. Not only in women's basketball, but where these teams, and I know that they have the mercy killing when it gets out of hand, but the coach of that basketball team should have been fired.
Absolutely, especially because in the third quarter, he was playing man-to-man full-court press and still had his starters in.
And you know what? This is what bothers me. This sends a message to young people. You know, you're supposed to be there. You're supposed to be teaching young people not only on the game, but getting them ready, hopefully, for their life. And when young people see that you're beating the hell out of another team that has no chance, what do you think they're going to take away from that in their real life when they're in situations that could be tight or situations where they're over somebody or dealing with somebody and there's no mercy? I tell you that. That's where all the crap and the trouble starts, as far as I'm concerned.
Right, and then I'm sure the headline in the local newspaper the next day is so-and-so routes so-and-so in record-setting victory or something, and I can't really look at that as a victory if I'm even the person rooting for the team that won.
Well, it was front page. It was all over the Internet around the country, and it was front page in the Boston Globe, and I am glad that they kind of took the coach to task. And by the way, the principal of the school finally came out and apologized, but didn't say much about the coach. And that's the problem. The control that the coach has in all sports over his or her players is total. And yet you're training people to go out in the world, and that's what it really is, and particularly today. And have that type of attitude, I'm sorry. I think it's one of the worst things I've ever seen. And by the way, you'll see it at UConn's women's basketball. Now, again, it's college, and they're playing against teams that they're completely superior to, and you see that occasionally. I don't know. I think it's gotten way out of hand.
Yeah, and the UConn thing, what really annoys me about that is that no major conference will allow UConn in. ACC won't take them. The Big Ten wouldn't take them in basketball. So they're in that American conference where they're going to beat up on everybody. I mean, I don't think Oriyama tries to run the score up, but they're just, as you point out, they're just vastly better. You would think that we would have some kind of hierarchy in place so that the really gifted teams played the really gifted teams and teams that weren't so good played each other. But I guess that's not what they want. But you know, one of the things I did want to ask you about today, because this came up a couple of times on the Internet this morning, what do you think about Jersey Way? Is that the right thing to rename Yawkey Way? Is it the right thing to do, or should we name it after Big Poppy?
Absolutely one of the, and I think I tweeted this out earlier in the week, and it might be unpopular, and Dan Shaughnessy brought it up. I think that whole Yawkey Way versus Jersey Way is one of the biggest, phoniest things that Henry and the Red Sox have done. If they wanted to do that, they could have done that years ago. But they waited till this whole, you know, the NFL situation with taking the knee, and now we're in a totally different era, and I understand that, the Me Too and many of the other things that have come out about the misogyny and life and in sports. But basically, Tom Yawkey was of another era, whether it was right or wrong, the last to have an African-American player. But why are we now turning around and saying, now we need to punish him now? You should have punished him when you took over the franchise. But that's what it's become. It's a PR thing. Should his name be replaced? I don't know about that. I would leave that up to the public and say, how do you vote on it? And what do you think on it? So, again, it's a very controversial thing. They've made it controversial. Do you think anybody would have given a damn if they hadn't brought it up? I never pay attention to the Yawkey way. I don't think now. Again, I'm not African American, and there are not many African Americans, by the way, that go that far. Period.
Right. Well,
many of the major sports things. So I just think it's a convenient thing to hit on, and I'm not so sure how I feel about it.
Well, I also wondered, since Bill Nolan, who's a very good writer, has a new book out called Yawkey, whether they were anticipating some blowback from that and decided, oh, we'll do this right now. As you point out, for publicity reasons, they could have done it for the right reasons a long time before. You also tweeted out something really interesting this week, and I hadn't really thought about this, but it's sort of, if the Patriots stand pat, they're sort of done.
Yeah, but here's again the thing. I'm thinking as a general manager. See, there's the reality of what it's really inside of football, and that includes the whole Garoppolo trade that they're blaming Belichick for, ridiculously so. And then there's the public and trying to make, as Kraft does, the Patriot season ticket holders and the general public happy. On one hand, I really feel that it was a mistake. And I'm looking at whether I owned or ran a football team. Realistically, in spite of all the Tom versus time crap, and Brady wanted to play, Brady had played the way he's 90 if he could. But the reality of the whole situation, even if Brady is able to go another 2 years, is that you are holding your franchise back. And in the long run, you know, you've got to look and planning, just like at a radio station or anywhere. What are the good next 5-10 years going to be? Who's going to come to my games? How competitive can I be? Is Bill Belichick the coach that I want to keep here? And if you look at it realistically, you probably bring Brady in and say, look, I understand if you, it was up to you, you'd play forever. But you've won 5 Super Bowls. And by the way, they blew this one with the Malcolm Butler thing. They could have won 6 and said to Brady, Tom, you've won more than anybody. You've had a career that's just totally incredible. And yet, on the other hand, you know, we have to look at our business. We have to look at our franchise. And so let's put a time on this. Let's say if you win another one, you're at 6. But we need to get Garoppolo going. We think he is the future. If you want us to trade you or try to get you some other place, we will, or if you want to retire, whatever it is, but we have to put a time on it. But Kraft wasn't willing to do that. Now you have Brady and you have nobody, because they ran into the Garoppolo thing that if Brady was going to try and play for the next 2 or 3 years, they couldn't pay Garoppolo, although it would be possible to do it, $24-25 million. So therefore, you're forced. Belichick is, who didn't want to lose him, is forced to trade him. Now, for all the people that are bitching and moaning, by the way, out there, about they only got, including the talk show people here don't know what they're talking about, is they said they only got two from San Francisco, and look what's happened out there. They could have gotten better, more from Cleveland. Well, I'm telling you something. If I'm sitting in Cleveland, I'm the general manager. I don't see Garoppolo every day like Belichick does. And I say he only played in 1.5 games, even though we know what he is here. If I'm a general manager there, I say, even though Cleveland puts it out there, I'd say, just what San Francisco said. We're taking a chance. We don't know what he can do. We'll give you a number 2. That's a fair deal. And yet everybody is crucifying Belichick for this, and I guarantee you, people inside of football, not the ones that report on it, will basically tell you that it's a chance we took, and it turned out well for the last 6 or 7 games. That's no guarantee for San Francisco in the future. So I don't see it as Belichick, you know, just dumping him out there. I'm sure he was angry. But a 2 would be about what I would give you if I was in the market and didn't see him every day for Garoppolo. So what's the bottom line? The bottom line is Brady might play another 2 years. The division is so weak, they could go back to the Super Bowl. It's some of the worst competition I've ever seen. and the Patriots, even with a flawed team, could go back again. But overall, over the long run, not good for them.
Yeah, and I was wondering, now that Richard Sherman's been cut, when some of the Boston radio talking heads will start debating whether the Patriots ought to sign him for, what, $20, $25 million a year or whatever. The cap has been increased. There's some more room. You'd think that the one thing they'd be doing would be looking to get rid of some veteran salaries, perhaps, and start stockpiling with the young players that they traditionally have been able to develop.
Well, here's what you have to factor in, and again, I'm looking at it as running a team, is you have to factor in, I mean, they got their coach to come back instead of going to the Colts. And that was the first sign that things weren't as good in River City when Josh McDaniels, first of all, somebody is now twice almost taken a job and run right back home. I'd have my second thoughts about him. But number two is that probably wouldn't have happened if Garoppolo would stayed here and there was a time frame for Brady. I think you'd see a different Belichick that would probably, let's say, I'm 65, I'll coach till I'm 70. But now you have a situation of what do you do here? You certainly want to make your team better. Do you re-sign the receiver that you traded for from New Orleans, who had a decent year, not a great year? Richard Sherman, people like that, you're only going to get a year out of them. Now, again, you're put back in a very difficult situation. Do you try and go for the gold again, get back to the Super Bowl, keep patching the team up so you know you can ride Brady unless he gets injured, and there's no guarantee on that. But again, you're instead of again, as you talk, of either stockpiling or trying to get more young players in here, and they need them. They might need the left tackle. They certainly need a whole bunch of linebackers. They certainly need more defensive backs. There are a lot of things here that they need that Brady has in some ways helped them because he can overcome a lot of the problems they have, as we saw in the Super Bowl. And actually, by the way, your audience, they were lucky they got by Jacksonville.
Yes.
If the quarterback had been a little bit better, this team wouldn't even reach the Super Bowl.
Well, that's why we talk to you, because you have all the insights on this and you have the experience. Upton, it is always a pleasure to speak with you, and I hope we do this even more regularly than we have been.
I do, too, and everybody up in Maine and your audience, hello, and just remember one thing. There are two things in life, the make-believe or the reality. Yeah. Always take the reality, and thank you all.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. That's been a pleasure speaking with you, Upton.
Okay.